passion for the planet, sound publishing,
the environment, health, alternative solutions.
I'm Chantal Cook. When it comes to delivering emergency aid to countries in the aftermath of a disaster, we are incredibly inefficient. That's according to Howard Sharman from Advance Aid.
It's inefficient because the whole structure of the industry is inefficient. The money's in the wrong place at the wrong time, and the goods actually are also in the wrong place at the wrong time. And that's something that we're going to try to do a small bit to resolve.
And how can that be changed?
The problem with the whole business of responding to emergencies is the money is available only after an emergency has happened. So once there's a flood or a typhoon, or wars are obviously a longer lasting emergencies. Once they've happened, then everyone runs around, tries to work out what is required, and then they go out and raise money. But by the time the money gets there, the people have been suffering for quite a long time. So really, our idea is to try to get the goods there in advance, to get the money there in advance, and to use the money to buy the goods from local manufacturers. So you're not shipping goods around the world, which is the other element of inefficiency, is a lot of these goods, what we deal with are non-food items. So they're like tarpaulins and blankets and mosquito nets. And they're the sort of basics for keeping a house in one piece or a household once the house has gone. A lot of those things are manufactured currently in India and China and by large organisations. And then they're shipped or flown to wherever they're needed, which is expensive and is environmentally grotesquely inefficient. The emissions that are caused by flying goods around the world is, on our calculation, 50 times what the emissions would be if they were made locally. And obviously the irony of that is that these very same emissions cause a lot of the natural disasters that the people are being saved from.
When you say get it there in advance, I mean, presumably you can't predict, oh, there's going to be a disaster here, let's stockpile some stuff.
Well, sadly you can, to a point. There's a lot of work being done by all sorts of branches of the UN, and we've been digging into some of these databases and doing some analysis. You can see where things have been going wrong, where there have been hurricanes and typhoons. Now, you can't say it's going to be that town or even possibly that country, but you can say that that part of Africa or that part of Asia is prone to these sort of events. For example, the Zambezi River. Huge river in southern Africa, flows out through Mozambique, and in 07 and 08 it flooded catastrophically in Mozambique. So in spring 2009 we did our first pilot project with World Vision Mozambique to pre-position some materials there. Of course, sod being the maker of laws that he is, the Zambezi did flood, but it flooded further upstream. The learning for us out of this is you can't be too micro in your positioning. So somewhere along the Zambezi with good transport links would be a better place to pre-position than necessarily in Mozambique. But you can have some good ideas where things are going to happen. West Africa, there have been, I don't know, something like 500,000 people made homeless in West Africa through floods. And this is one of the sort of disasters that doesn't make the news here. People don't know about it. It doesn't get on CNN, doesn't get the big coverage. But that's happened, I think two of the last 3 years, there's been major flooding in West Africa. People are working on meteorological predictions as well as historical predictions to say, okay, these are likely places. And so if you can actually put a warehouse in somewhere in West Africa, put a warehouse somewhere along the Zambezi, stocked with goods, you're likely to be in pretty much the right place. You're certainly better off than if it's sitting in a factory warehouse in India or China.
When it comes to the manufacturing then, should those goods actually be manufactured in country?
We believe so, or at least in the region, yes. Because you bring jobs, you bring a little bit of wealth, the wealth brings resilience to disasters of itself, and you reduce the transport links, you reduce the risk. When you go through ports and airports, there's risks of bureaucratic interference, there's risks of delays, of breakdowns. The nearer you can manufacture, we believe, the better. You cut down on what I'm calling aid miles by just not shipping things so far and generating some wealth in the locality.
And how can you encourage that to happen? Is it just by saying, well, we guarantee we're going to buy it because we're an aid agency, or is it actually by helping the people set up the businesses themselves?
We will be working with existing businesses who aren't currently able to get these big orders from the aid agencies. So there are people there who can manufacture. If not, then we could work with ones who are. We're working with a tarpaulin manufacturer who's relocating a factory to Nairobi. For example, currently they're manufacturing in China. They're going to carry on in China, but they're also putting up a factory in Nairobi. But you need to work with the people, maybe to help them to improve their product. We have good relations with the aid agencies. We can aggregate product, then we can supply on to the aid agencies, and we can guarantee its availability, its quality, and its price.
That's Howard Sharman from Advance Aid, and there are lots more interviews available on demand at passionfortheplanet.com.
This is a Passion for the Planet Sound publication. For more information about Passion for the Planet Sound publishing, visit passionfortheplanet.com.